Let's get into the message for the night. Bible knowledge, what's important, really is. And I'm thankful for a church who knows the Bible and people in our church that does put effort into learning the Bible. We're going to talk about seven things that been opened. Seven things opened in the Bible. Seven things opened in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 42, we'll begin there. There's no particular order in this, but I just noticed that there were some things that had been opened in the Bible and studying and looking at that. And I wrote down seven of those. Of course, there were many more things that were opened, but these seven I thought we'd look at. Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 6, if you would. The Bible says there in Isaiah chapter number 42. Sorry, chapter 42. Did I say 46? Oh, okay. All right, chapter 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So the first thing we notice there, verse number 7, the first thing that I saw that was open was our eyes. Our eyes. And I talked about that this morning, about being spiritual blind. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that one. But church, we really need to open up our eyes and spiritually speaking, and see. God says here in verse number 8, He says, listen, I will not. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And I know that none of us, at least I hope I know that, none of us have any little graven images in our house or little worship stones that we call our God. But there are things that do take place, God's place, His rightful place. And so we need to be careful. We need to ask God to open our eyes and say, God, show me that I am seeing every object, every item, every day, every person as you see. Help me to see as you are seeing. Help me to see in a way that I understand that this object, this thing, this person. And you say, well, how can a person? Well, think about Isaiah. The year that King Uzziah died, then he saw the Lord. Something about that relationship. Now, Isaiah, as far as I can tell, was a tremendous prophet of God. But something in that relationship caused him to not see God in His rightful place, His rightful, the way He should have been looking at Him. So if it can happen to Isaiah, surely it can happen to you and I. So we have to be careful. Lord, open my eyes. And like it says in the book of Job, make a covenant with your eyes that whenever your eyes are open, that you do see and that you do understand, hey, God has removed the scales. God has shown me this or God has shown me that. And so my eyes are open that I see things for what they are. You think about the time that Joshua was there and the men appeared to have come from afar off to make a covenant with the nation of Israel. And Josh looked at their clothes, he looked at their bags that they carried the wine in, and he said, well, wow, surely they've come from a far land. Listen, everything that we see is not as it really appears. We have to be careful. God, open my eyes. Let me see my friendships. Open my eyes. Let me see this relationship that I'm entering into. whether it be a courting, a dating relationship, however you want to term it. You know, help me to see this person as you see them. Our Sunday school classes. Lord, help me to see my students, those that I am mentoring, those that I help. Help me to see them as you see them. We need to be careful. Lord, open my eyes. Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 5. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5. The next thing I see that has been opened is our ears. The Lord God hath opened mine ears. Listen to this here verse. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Have you ever heard the instructions given to you, and there was that rebellious bone that rose up in you? When somebody said something to you, or tried to correct or give guidance, give direction, or help you in a matter, and that rebellious bone, I mean, it was there. God says here, the Lord hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, sometimes in our life, we set out plans and we set out things we want to do and accomplish. And they're not necessarily bad. They're not necessarily wrong. They're not necessarily sinful. But it's just not what God would have for us to do, perhaps at that particular moment or at that particular time. Maybe it's for down the road and we want to rush into it and we want to get into it. And the Lord speaks to us and says, hey, that was the wrong direction. That was the wrong choice. And we got a choice. We got something we can do. We can either listen, understand, or we can get rebellious about the situation. And if we're not careful, boy, that rebellious bone pops up and it's there. Church, when God opens our ear, and the Bible talks about having an ear and hearing what the Spirit says, don't rebel against it. Hey, when He says, okay, you see this for what it is, listen to me. Heed what I'm saying. Don't rebel against it. Teenagers, kids, don't rebel against the direction and guidance that's been given to you by authority. Well, I just don't like authority. Listen, dear friend, you're going to have authority over youth until you die. I mean, it's just part of life. You know the craziest thing, Brother Rollin, you can give a test of this. People, why'd you join the military? Get away from authority. You're like my mom and dad telling you what to do. So you join the Army, the Marines, Navy, and Air Force. Lord, help. Hey, listen, you're going to have somebody constantly telling you what to do. Well, Warren Buffett doesn't. He's got a whole board of advisors that help him make decisions. Yes, ultimately it's his money, and he invests how he wants to. But if he doesn't listen to those that are around him, guess what happens? He's just another Lane Stockton out of Warren Buffett. I ain't got billions and billions of dollars. He's just another average person. You know what happened? He put people around him that was smart in what they did, and he listened to them. They made choices, and he followed advice. Listen, when we're talking spiritual things or just physical things in life, there are people who know and seen and done and heard more than we have. Be willing to listen. Don't rebel against it. Listen, I don't know anybody in our church that would really want to hurt anybody with advice. Don't be afraid to ask it. You may not agree with it, It may not even be helpful to you. Like, well, I appreciate it, but listen, ask some of these elderly men and women and directions of life and on things. Because listen, we need to understand the choice I make today, I'm going to live with 10, 15 years down the road. I'm telling you, I want to make good choices today that when I'm living with it, it's not a prickly pear. That it's a smooth banana. I don't like pricks and cuts and thorns and thistles. When you make some choice in life, listen, they stick you a long, long time. They really do. Acts chapter 16. So some eyes was opened, some ears was opened. In Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. The Word of God says, there is a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard of us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You know, the heart is wicked and deceitful above all. And when it's closed up, sealed up, you know what's sealed up inside of there? Wickedness, evilness. When Lord opened the heart, you know, when Lord opened Lydia's heart here, the Bible says there in the last phrase of this chapter, is that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We need to be careful to ask the Lord to open our hearts. Amen. So when word is spoken, that we attend to it. Amen. We don't just hear it, but we attend to it and we become a doer of the word of God. It didn't happen by chance. It happened because the Lord had opened her heart. What do you think may have happened? I think what may have happened is that in past, Lydia had her eyes open. Lydia had her ears open. So therefore she could see as God sees. She could hear what the Spirit was saying. And God could open the heart. I'm telling you, dear friend, we need to have some open hearts by the Lord. We need to have the Lord open our hearts. And when the Lord opens the heart, dear friend, we attend to that which is spoken. Paul was a true man of God. He wasn't just a flippant, fly-by-the-day, spindly money grabber of a preacher. No, dear friend. He stayed in perilous times, in difficult hours, in the hardships of their life. Paul was there, and the Lord gave an open heart, and Lydia was able to attend to those words. And we need to ask the Lord when we come to the house of God, Lord, open my heart. Why? So that the seed can fall on what kind of ground? Good ground. The heart's all closed up. It's hard. It's foul. It just falls there. And it can be some good word. I mean, that falls there. But if it doesn't take root, well, we just leave up out of here and it's just thorns and thistles of the life taken away. So eyes, ears, heart was opened in the Word of God. Look in Psalms 51. Can anybody, before we get to Psalms chapter 51, can anybody tell me what comes to your mind when you think about Psalms chapter 51? David and his broken, contrite heart. That's right. It was a time of confession, a time of him getting right with God. But in Psalms 51, which is an amazing, amazing verse, it gives us a great example on how to get right with God. If you notice there in Psalms chapter 51 and verse number 15, after David got his heart right and got himself right with God, listen to what he says in verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. We need to stop for a moment and ask God to help us praise Him. I'm just going to be honest with you, church. It's real easy, to pour out our burdens, talk about our difficulties. I'll tell you, it was a difficult, shameful time in the life of David. But this wasn't a good time in the life of David. But he asked the Lord, after he asked for a clean heart and a right spirit, in verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, my mouth shall show forth thy praise. We need to get to the point, dear friend, that we spend a lot more time praising God and worrying about what we don't have and what ain't going right and what isn't just right in our lives, and they get to the point where we realize, hey, God, when I open my mouth, let it be more in praise. You know what makes a difference in a lost person's life? Hearing about how bad we got it or hearing about how good our God is? They got it bad. They know how bad it is. I mean, our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, or those around us, they're going through difficulty in life. To hear your difficulties and you to ramp on and on about your difficulties or my difficulties, and I'm just as guilty about this, it changes their view not one iota about God. Especially if they're lost. I mean, what in the world would I need a God like that for? But they look at your life, they see you going through financial difficulty. You know, Christians aren't exempt from that. Finances, everybody needs it. And sometimes there's a lack of it. They see you going through that difficulty. They see you going through emotional distress. They see you going through marital problems. Can Christians have? Yeah, Christians can have marital problems. Sure we can. We're two human beings of the opposite sex that are married and joined together that sometimes see things in a different viewpoint and different things. So you have, can Christians go through physical ailments? Yeah. We're not exempt from none of that. What's the difference? How we handle it. How we handle it. In the midst of the storm, praising. In the midst of the heartache, praise Him. In the midst of the battles of life, praise Him. What makes a big difference? It really does make a huge difference in their view on a God when you're praising Him in the middle of hardship. Luke chapter 24. So we have opened eyes, opened ears, open hearts, open mouth. Luke chapter number 24. And verse number 32. 24 and 32. At this moment, the Lord, He's risen from the grave, He's walking down the road, and He's talking with a couple of disciples. And this is what it says. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? You know what God desires, church? God desires to open the Word of God to us. God desires that when we are alone in our private, devotional prayer time, or we're in a corporate setting such as right now, God desires to talk with us and to open up the Scripture to us. When's the last time this has happened in your life? When's the last time that in your heart, there was a burning inside of you that you knew that God just showed you something personally from the Word of God. Well, I thank God. When I go and hear preaching and I listen to preaching, and the other day I was listening to Brother Ouellette, and he's going to be with us in July at our family conference. He's going to be preaching for us at our family conference. And I was listening to a sermon of his just the other day. And man, I'm telling you, Brother Ouellette's got wisdom beyond a measure when I listen to him preach. And I hear him preach. And it thrilled my heart, though, that he just showed me something in the Scripture. You know what he showed me? He was preaching on something. He said, "Who do you think you are to think you deserve whatever?" So that showed me. Said, yeah, it did. Who do you think you are? And he was talking to his church, but I was looking at him on the screen. I was like, "Brother Ouellette?" And he showed me something. And it excites me whenever someone shows me something out of the Bible. But you know what excites me more? Is when God shows me something. Well, that's amazing. That God will stop for a moment in a book that is 66 books, and taken there, and something that is preserved, that he holds high in his name. He says, hey son, hold up a minute. Look at that. And he shows me something from his word. Well, preacher, I don't know if it happened for us. It happened for those disciples. If it happened for them, then it happened for us. If we just take a moment, what were they doing? Spending time with Jesus. Take a moment. Open the Scriptures. You know what? If he opens the Scriptures, guess what he'll do? Look over at verse 45. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand what? The Scriptures." So he opens our eyes, he opens our ears, he opens our heart, he opens our mouth. He'll open the Scripture and he'll open our understanding. Have you ever read something and you didn't understand it quite the first time? And you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, and finally you understood it? You're not going to understand the Bible the first time you read it completely. There'll be things you understand, things you don't, but I'm telling you, as you read through it, you read through it, you spend time with Jesus, your understanding is opened up, and you get and gain understanding from the Scriptures. That's what he wanted to do for them. He opened their heart. He opened the Scripture. He opened understanding. You know what happens when all of these things are open? When our eyes are open, our ears are open, our hearts open, our mouth open, the Scripture's open, we have understanding of the Bible. You know what helps us? You know what it does for us? It opens doors of service. It opens doors of service. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? Look over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9. Look at verse 8, 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries." What was Paul looking for? Paul was looking for a place that he may serve his God. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. We open our eyes, we open our ears, we open our heart, our mouth is open. We're singing praises to a holy and righteous God. We're praising Him in the difficult hour. The Scriptures are becoming plainer and clearer and open to us of understanding. Hey, we will serve. If there's a lack of service in my life, dear friend, I'm telling you, one of the six doors is closed that I just talked about. And if one is closed, guess what happens? Two will close. Two closes, guess what happens? Three will close. Guess which one he wants to close first, the God of this world? When he gets us to close our Bible, the Scriptures, there'll be absolutely no understanding. There'll be absolutely, our heart will close. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. Our heart will close. When our heart's closed, guess what? We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. When we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, guess what we're doing? Walk around blind. And we walk around blind, guess what we are? Blind lead the blind. Where do we all end up? In the ditch. Things that are open. I mean, it's all through there. So here's the moral of the story. How's your service? Not to me. Not to the church. How is your service to the Lord? If your service to the Lord is messed up, there's other things that are wrong. That's just the result. That's the fruit of the problem. Well, I don't know how that can be, Pastor, because we're His workmanship created. We're Christ's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. If we're His workmanship, we're created to do something. Amen. Serve. We're His servants. We're His servants. There's no little U's and big I's and big U's and big I's. It's all Him if we keep it in perspective. It's all about Jesus. What I do for Jesus. I don't do for Lockhaven. I don't do for the deacons. I don't do for Brother Jim, the song leader. What I want to do because I want to please Him. And if we all get that heart, that we're pleasing to Him, serving Him, then we are all going in the same direction. Why? Because He never moves. He never changes. I'm telling you, you find a church where you have a group going this way, a group going that way, this one pulling that way, this one pulling that way. Something's wrong. Have to all be going toward Him, and we're all serving Him. Guess what? We can do a great and mighty work on His behalf. What an amazing thing to labor in His field. Preacher, there just ain't much to do. Oh, he said the harvest is already white in the harvest. It's ready. Ready in the harvest. A lot to do. How's your service? Let's stand to our feet.